Yeah, it's that Brett time.
Episode 5 of Brett Time with Gabriel Valdivia
and Charlie Dietz. It's 2017, you use your phone or some other mobile device for like a lot of stuff. And these devices, the architecture of them are that you are using different applications to perform different actions. That is pretty good for like grouping things into certain things. If I want to check what's happening with my friends, I press the Facebook button or I communicate with them over the messaging application I use. These things make a lot of sense. But a lot of people, for various reasons, would probably like to see applications go away and there be more seamless way that you interact with your mobile device. So what is that thing? And we're going to try to talk about it today.
So I think there, just to set the stage, there's a few developments that can color this conversation. One, Snapchat releasing spectacles, which is somehow making it okay to wear a camera on your face. Apple releasing the AirPods, which makes you, in touch with an assistant by just saying a command. Apple releasing the Apple Watch, which has all of a sudden haptic senses into your body and notification systems that are very contextual. And artificial intelligence kind of like picking up steam, where bots and assistants are becoming more and more of a thing.
Cool.
The biggest shift will be that apps or people won't interact with technology the way they do today, where technology is a destination, right? Whether it's your laptop or your phone or whatever it is, I think that will change and technology will be more and more embedded with real life. And it will be, people say conversational, but I think what it will be intertwined with the way we interact with the world, and we'll jump in and out of technology in a way that is less obtrusive and more fluid than it is today.
I love the idea of the assistant handling the things for me, where I instruct the assistant to do the test that I want. Like, that sounds really good, but in practice, like, the app world works really well for me because I like to be in control of what I'm doing. So to me, like, if I decide I want to use this particular application to do this particular thing, I get like a pleasure out of that. And I wonder if that will be, like, if I just say to the assistant, like, send an email to Gabe or something like that, I don't know, like, what's happening. It feels kind of like there's all this, like, elusiveness or ambiguity around the process of what's actually occurring. And maybe that's, like, a temporary thing in the transition period. But I could imagine that feeling kind of uncomfortable. Like, I don't like to delineate my work. I like to do it myself.
Well, I think right now we have a relationship between humans and technology where we are proactive and technology is reactive to us. Right, like, we want to communicate with a friend, so I have that idea and then I go to my phone and my phone reacts to that. But there's other things in life that are not like that. Like, when I have to pee, I'm not like, I'm gonna pee and I just force my body to pee, right? Like, there's other things where you are more reactive to your body, and I think you will become more reactive to technology in the future, where technology will become proactive and will become, and it will start asking you, like, oh, hey, do you want to message this person? Do you want to make a reservation? Do you want to send an email? Do you want to do all these things? And then your job will not be in controlling technology, but instead to react to it. When my phone or my glasses or my watch or whatever, when buzzes, I'll just be like, oh yeah, I want to do that technology, thank you.
That's kind of crazy, actually. That's like that is Matrix, right? Like,
right.
You're being instructed what to do by the greater, like, mass of information that's traveling and changing around you. But I guess that's real life anyway, so it's not too crazy.
I have a new OS. His name is Pavlov.
Okay, so wait, let's agree now. Let's like get to the first stage of this conversation. We both agree that the assistant is probably the replacement for the app model, because the assistant will do more work on your behalf and you have to figure out less ways to interact with it. You interact with it on your terms. I don't have to learn a new UI. I just deal with the assistant by communicating to it, right?
Although I don't know if that assistant is a voice commands assistant. It's not the version of the assistant that we have today. For me especially, that's hard for me because I don't form an idea and a sentence from beginning to end before I start talking. Mm-hmm. Like, I start talking, I'm developing what I'm saying, right, as I talk. So that, to me, communicating with an assistant, like, that becomes really hard, where I'm developing what I want as I say the sentence. And I don't think voice recognition has gotten to that point. So I think, and it's just inconvenient too. So I think there will be some sort of, like, implicit interaction with this assistant. that I don't think is necessarily voice.
Okay, so to me, like, the first time I've experienced an assistant that is, like, of the level I would want it to be is probably, like, Google Now, right? So using a Pixel phone, like, Nougat, like, using Google Now, I started to have the experience that this thing was looking out for me. I would swipe over to the area when I was at the airport. There was a map of where I was. I was at a restaurant. I would swipe over. I would see the menu. That felt like someone was helping me, and I started to, like, have the feeling of actually relying on it. So, like, that's it. That's not, like, a voice command. That's not, like, a chat-based conversation at all. That was still, like, a UI that was being presented to me.
And I think the way they do that is because they broke the walls of what an app is, right? Like, they say, oh, yeah, Gmail is when you do your email, but we're actually going to bleed some of the information into Google Now, and then when it is convenient to you, you can watch it there. And eventually, Google Now will stop being a destination. It will just become the OS, I assume. And that information will just bleed from everywhere in the system to, like, whenever it is contextually relevant. Just like notifications are today, but a bit more implicit.
Yeah, Google's in a nice position if you use their ecosystem, because the fact that they, like, I'm going to say, get away with, like, scraping your email and delivering that to you in other places of the system where you're logged in is very powerful. Because my email's probably, like, one of the most personal type of, I mean, like, messaging and email feel like really personal channels. But Google Now presents that information to me in a way that's usually useful. Like, oh, here's a tracking number for a package. And I'm like, oh, thank you. Like, you did read my email to do that and deliver it in a place that I wasn't expecting, but I am happy to know that it's here, actually. Okay, stage one is we probably think that the thing that could replace the app model is an assistant-based model. Stage two is it's not like what people dream it to be. The assistant model isn't necessarily just voice or just a chat conversation. There's other things that it does. Like, at home, I have Hue light bulbs, and they turn on every day at the right time when the sun goes down. I haven't been turning on my light bulbs in, like, months, and that's an assistant sort of experience, right? Like, I'm not interacting with an app necessarily. I had to set it up with an app and stuff like that. But basically, the thing occurs without an app model.
Now, we're talking about software. Do you think this will eventually influence hardware? Where right now we have a hub, right? We have either a phone or a laptop or a desktop computer, and all three of those have a bunch of apps inside it. If we eventually move away from apps, how would that affect hardware? Would it be more malleable, where, like, everything will be in the cloud and there's no concept of a application that you open? Maybe the hardware itself is modular and you don't have a home for, like, there's no, like, actual single device, but you have, like, a display and an input device and a sound output and all these different modular things that you can then combine whenever they're necessary or relevant.
Okay, so I've spent the past X amount of time thinking, like, kind of biased in the back of my mind. Every time I think of the Internet of Things, I just sort of dismiss it. But what you just said there is actually, like, super relevant now. Maybe I'd been missing the point, which is, yeah, like, the apps kind of go away. Like, there's a controller for the situations, but the distributed processing and the, like, way the network would all, like, communicate together becomes to be, like, the software becomes the machine, and the machine is all around you, and you're in this experience that is being tied into you in some way. That's kind of heavy. I never really thought about it in that particular way. I thought of it as, like, silly washers and dryers that turn on. There's something, like, beautiful to not interacting with one device, right? Like, I use my phone a lot, and when I have that interaction, I become disturbed that I use it so much. Somehow, when I, like, make music or something, like, I use some other hardware devices that aren't my computer now. And because there are different devices, I feel like I'm doing something quite different. And I think maybe there's, like, a cultural thing that will come out of this too, which is, like, we don't want to be strapped to one thing. We want to feel like we're doing different stuff. And actual physical hardware being in different places actually might help, like, relieve that tension we have of being strapped to a single device.
I mean, especially when all devices look pretty much exactly the same. They're just a like really solid slate that you can swipe and tap. Most devices are that. where like it kind of reminds me of this trend where like a lot of people are using MIDI controllers to plug that into like Framer or Origami to prototype and really tweak values with like those knobs, which is like the inherent value of the fact that they can tweak those knobs. That just makes the experience different and inherently then changes the ultimate outcome of the whatever you're working on.
Yeah, when you if you go to a music recording studio, still to this day there is a mixing console, and like there's value to the mixing console for a variety of reasons, but being able to like touch all of the like knobs, have them accessible at all time. You don't have to change screens, you don't have to change views. Everything's there in front of you, and when you turn it, you know you're turning it. All that stuff like adds up. Yeah, interesting hardware interfaces.
So we have a future without apps that relies on some sort of assistant and multiple hardware input and output interfaces. That is the way we're going to interact with technology in the future.
What this sounds like this ridiculously old past, right? This sounds like 1970s or 1960s or something, like 1960s space program, and you're like the head of the space program, right? Like you have these technologies and you tell people to do stuff, and like that's what we really want the future to be, I guess.
No, but I think hardware, like hardware, quote unquote, and technology will be much more like friendly, right? Like hardware will be like a hat. Mm-hmm. Or a belt is hardware, or glasses is hardware, right? Like all these things that we are used to as a society will be more and more integrated with technology, and technology will just be the amplifier for whatever that piece of clothing or hardware is intended to do.
We've had this conversation before, but like the movie Her, you're not like a big fan of. I just love the technology vision in that movie so much, like the idea that the voice was there at all times, and you used the screen as an accessory for when you wanted to see stuff. That reminded me so much of like, I don't know, like pulling out a notepad or a book or something. Like it was like, it wasn't the primary interface, it was the secondary interface. And that helped, I think, like make the future look like people could really connect even more with each other, even though like in the movie it's about a person not connecting with people essentially, but like
which is why I don't like the movie.
But anyway, like I like that idea of like the phone device like kind of like losing its importance a bit because the apps lose their importance, and what you get then is like a reader screen or like a screen for those interactions for visual interfaces. Okay, I'm just trying to build on our argument here, which is not scientific. Okay, so apps probably replaced by assistants. The assistants coming in a variety of methods of input and output. So voice, probably some text conversations, probably some just visual interfaces, sort of traditional where you touch things that make sense to you and proceed, but also being in all of the hardware around us. So when we're dealing with the assistant, the assistant is in the things that we're using, whether it be our glasses or our chair or whatever. Like the assistant is all around us in our devices that we're using, keeping us feeling free and easy and whatever.
This all requires that the technology talks to each other and is aware of each other, mm-hmm. which is not necessarily the best argument for capitalism. Right? Like
or privacy.
You could argue that having a monolith or a monopoly of technology that like Google that connects that is aware of itself and has all these properties that talk to each other but all talk to the main hub, which is Google and your Google account, that will be convenient in this future where everything else will be so diversified. So are we heading in the direction where we lean heavier into this giant corporations that own our digital selves, or are we willing as a capitalist society to create some sort of system where we have individual businesses that have their own agendas, but they agree to have some sort of interconnection between all of them so that we can provide the value of having this contextual future?
Right. And the key to that is just like an open platform. If there's like open channels of communication that can be developed and everyone believes, like the World Wide Web is a pretty good one, right? Like if these open channels of communication can be determined and everyone can use them the same way, there is that future. If they're all proprietary, there isn't that future. And that's...
Well, a lot of people rely on, like a lot of people default, or a lot of companies default on proprietary walled gardens, right? Yeah. Our buddies at Apple, like that seems to be like their one of their main raison mantra. So like, you know, how do you move away from that? And how do you move away from like patents and IPs and all these different things that are supposed to protect the uniqueness of your product, and instead have a more generous kind of like collaborative cross company, cross like motivations agenda so that the user is better off?
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, that is up to you, listener, to decide and let us know. You can find us on Twitter at BrettTimeFM and reach us out there and tell us what you think about the future of a decentralized non-app future.
Of the future. Thanks for listening. This was the fifth episode of Bread Time. Party out.